Let the countdown begin. We are less than 2 weeks away from the start of the 2015 MLB season, and we are certainly in full swing with the fantasy baseball season. So let's talk fantasy here on Monday, March 23rd. Adam Azer, Al Melchior, and Heath Cummings. Al, back in Florida after Tout Wars.
Yes.
Huge.
what part?
Well, you got it. You're representing
on pitchers, or
you're representing CBS Sports in Tout Wars, the creme de la creme of fantasy baseball leagues, and we'll get to your lineup in a little bit. But how was it?
It was awesome. It is the most fun weekend of the year. It is it's great gathering of people that most of whom you only see one time a year. It's crazy. It's uncontrolled.
Yeah, it sounds, I'm sure it's crazy. Heath, Tout Wars sounds fun, but most fun weekend of the year, I would hope I'd be able to do a little bit better than that.
Well, I had a pretty fun weekend myself. I mean, I went to the beach, and I went to two new bars that I had never been to.
Oh, so. Which bars?
I went to World of Beer.
Terrific.
It was terrific.
Yeah.
And then Brews Room.
Yeah, also, but they're basically the same place, but yeah, good sports
yeah.
bars.
Brews Room was up in Deerfield Beach. It was my first trip to Deerfield Beach, so, you know, that's pretty fun.
Good, good. I hope you enjoyed it.
To the Tout spirit on Tout weekend.
Tout, yeah, no, Tout sounds like a lot of fun. I actually wanted to meet up with Al, but he was in New York for Tout, but as you probably can tell from home, I am sick, so if I have a bad performance today, I do apologize. I'm going to do my best here. We're talking spring training studs and duds from the past weekend. Some interesting stuff going on. Justin Verlander was terrible. Chris Bryant keeps on raking. Jock Peterson continues to have a great spring training. Hyunjin Ryu is going to start the season on the DL. That was a punch to the gut for me. And yeah, just a lot of guys to talk about, like Trevor May, perhaps fantasy relevant again. And Toronto has a closer. Question of the day for you guys, real quick. Chris Bryant or?
Yes.
Evan Longoria.
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 Chris Bryant or Josh Harrison?
Chris Bryant.
I'll go Chris Bryant, too.
Chris Bryant or David Wright?
I got to say Wright there.
David Wright.
All right, well, look, you can't talk about spring training studs without talking about a guy who's hit 8 home runs, and that's third baseman Chris Bryant of the Cubs, who I think it's fair to say we expect him early in the season, maybe not the beginning, but early. So what are you guys making of his spring training? We could talk about it every day, but he keeps giving us reasons to talk about it. More home runs over the weekend and just crushing it right now.
Well, I feel like maybe I've said this before, but the only thing that's really changed for me is that I'd say going into spring training, I thought maybe he'd be an early June call-up. I don't think that anymore.
Well, but you gave him a 30-point batting average boost in your projections last week.
Right. Well, but that, you know, that wasn't really – and I caught some heat on Twitter for this, you know, because it's like, you know, 23 plate appearances. Why are you making that adjustment? It wasn't because of what he had done in spring training. It was that – in adjusting the playing time, I went back and took a look at his stats and realized that I'd erred.
Okay.
That I overestimated the impact of the strikeouts, that I think he's going to be a better hitter on balls in play than I initially thought.
Heath, what do you make of spring training stats? Do you care?
I'm a Royals fan, and I've seen Mike Moustakas have some pretty amazing springs. Go back and look at Mike Moustakas' spring training. I'm not saying that Chris Bryant is Mike Moustakas. I think he's better than Mike Moustakas, but there can be too much made of it.
Yeah, especially with the Royals. 2 years ago, it was Lorenzo Cain we were freaking out about. He was having the best spring training ever, and he was a nothing.
And they're in first place in the Cactus League by like 4 games once again. The thing about the Royals in spring training that's different is Ned Yost cares if they win in spring training. I mean, it's a big deal to him. And I don't know why that is, but it's his theory is he's playing to win in spring training, and he does.
You know, I actually do see the logic in that because you set the tone early. I mean, I think that can only help you. I mean, look, I think there's going to be times that maybe you sacrifice the win because you want to see certain guys, you know, get in the game more so than, you know, being concerned about the final outcome. But I think if you have that kind of focus before opening day, maybe that gives you an edge.
Here's the thing about Ned Yost. He did a lot of silly things over the last 2 or 3 years, and he got a lot of eye rolls in Kansas City. But last year, he went to the World Series, so everything he does seems smarter.
Yeah, it's almost like it's tough to criticize him at this point. It's just
oh,
like,
I
take
won't
that,
criticize anymore,
critics.
No.
What'd you say?
I'm not criticizing him anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's exactly. He's got his credibility. Hey, all right, busy show coming up today, so let me preview it for everybody. We'll do the studs and duds, obviously. I want to read a lot of emails. We're getting some really good ones. Draft time is approaching for a lot of people, so want to answer questions. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Put baseball podcast in the subject line. I'm going to announce 6 of the 8 participants in the podcast league. 2 people have not gotten back to me, so your spots are... tentatively yours, but you better respond to my emails. But 6 people have accepted their invites, and we're drafting tomorrow night. If those 2 people don't get back to me, it opens things up for the rest of you, so root against it. Quote of the day. This is a quote from Jonathan Lucroy on Ryan Braun. For some reason, I put a T in his name in the notes. Not sure what that's all about. Chalk that up to the illness. Quote. I've been watching his batting practice every day, and his ball is looking like it was in 2012. It's just jumping. The ball is flying off his bat. That's good. That means he's got some strength in there. That's Lucroy on Ryan Braunt, who that's kind of ironic since he's batting 167 this spring. But he has homered in 2 straight games. I could be talked into liking Braun more just because of the obvious upside. How are you guys feeling about it? Heath.
I don't get too excited about Jonathan Lucroy saying that Ryan Braun looks good in batting practice.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's maybe even less. I mean, there's a lot of guys, if you go out to the ballpark early and watch batting practice, there are a lot of players that don't hit more than 10 or 12 home runs a year that are just crushing the ball in batting practice. If you're in the major leagues, you can hit bombs in batting practice.
Well, he's hit up two games in a row now in spring. It's really more of just an excuse to talk more about Ryan Braun because I could see going a little bit earlier than I thought for Braun. If he stays healthy, he should have a big year.
Well, you know, I think so. And, I think it's too bad Scott's not here for this because I think he's been the champion for Ryan Braun this spring. I want to see him outside of batting practice. I want to see him do it in the regular season because I worry that maybe it isn't just correlation meaning causation when his thumb was apparently healthier that he was hitting better. I mean, we just haven't seen great production from him since 2012. That's a long time.
And I know, Scott, when I argue with Scott about Braun, it makes me sound like I'm down on Braun, but I'm probably similar to Scott. There's like one point that we disagree on, and we disagree quite a bit on it. But anyway, if I could get one stud and one dud from you guys that you feel like the fantasy world must know about from over the weekend, who would it be? Heath, give me your one stud.
My one stud from the weekend, I guess it would have to be James Paxton. I was glad to see in his spring debut, not so much that he threw 3 1/3 scoreless innings, but that he was able to go 3 1/3 innings in his first outing of the year.
Oh, you know that makes me happy. Someone else who wants to love James Paxton. Good stuff there. Al, I think I cut you off.
No, I didn't. Sorry, I thought maybe there was more. So, my stud of the weekend would be Kendall Graveman. Because I don't really know what more he would have to do at this point to solidify a rotation spot. And he's looked really good.
And he's RP eligible, right?
He is RP eligible. So I think I've got him fourth or fifth among SPARPs in terms of projected value. So you know, once Wooden Carrasco go off the board, It's time to get him in your queue. Yeah, I don't think he's taken before the late rounds, but yeah, I think you pick your spot and try to get him. I think he could be a real sleeper.
Would you guys rather have Alex Wood in the 5th round or Kendall Graveman of the Oakland Athletics in the 19th round?
I would say Graveman.
I would too. Yeah, 5th round strikes me as early for Wood.
6th round.
I'd still say Graveman.
Yeah, you drive a hard bargain there. Yeah, me too, though.
Graveman. Yeah, I put him, after his previous spring training start, I put him in a Word document, which I will be using during the Podcast League draft tomorrow, of guys to target late. Because I forget a lot of the guys that I like. And then they get drafted, and I go, ah, damn it! I wanted to draft that guy. So Graveman will get drafted, I think. And, hey, it might be by me, Podcast Leaguers. All right, how about a dud, Heath?
This guy is not just a dud for this weekend. He's been a dud so far for spring training. Derek Norris, 0 for 6 over the weekend with 5 more strikeouts. Now hitting 069 on the string with 13 Ks and 29 at-bats. Yikes.
Yeah, where are you on Derek Norris, now the Padres catcher?
Stay away. Yeah. I mean, that's horrible. And it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but that's really, really bad.
I think he's fringy enough that, again, I don't really read much into spring training stats at all unless it's a position battles thing where that might be a difference maker. But, yeah, Norris is fringy enough that if we're a little scared already of drafting him, I think this is going to make it more difficult to pull the trigger on him, even as a number two catcher.
Well, he's not a guy that, as we've mentioned many times, if you're in a two-catcher league, like 12 teams, two catchers, number two catcher gets pretty thin pretty quickly. He's not a guy that I want to have as a fallback option. I think I'd rather spend a pick on a number two catcher before I have to take Derek Norris. And in a roto league, I'm looking at what I've said it since we did the catcher preview. I'm looking at what Mike Zunino is doing this spring, and he had a two-homer game on Friday. He's batting .346. He's had a good spring before and hasn't necessarily translated, but I don't know. Al, I think you're kind of with me on Zunino. I still think there's untapped potential there. I would certainly take him ahead of Norris.
Yeah, I would have, and granted, I would have a month ago.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, certainly Zunino has probably created a little bit of distance between himself and Norris. Again, I don't think you should make too much of either one, but I do see Zunino as somebody who's got some breakout potential this year.
Right.
He's going to probably play much more this year even than he did last year. And he could raise the batting average. I don't think he's ever going to be necessarily even a 260 hitter, but raise it enough that I think he's putting himself on the fringes of being a number one catcher.
Al, what's the one stud? Who's the one stud you want to talk about?
We talked about Graveman, right?
Oh, so, dud.
Dud. Okay.
Yeah, my bad.
I'll go. I'm going to dip into my tout weekend here and talk a little bit about Yasmani Tomas. And I put him out there for nomination, not really wanting him, not avoiding him either. I wasn't trying to dump him on somebody else.
This is 15 teams mixed, right?
15 teams mixed, Roto. Yep. I wound up getting him for $5. And I was really very surprised because, I went five thinking, okay, this is a really good value, but I'm sure this is going to go, at least to 7 or 9. And, in the aftermath, a lot of people said, well, he's probably going to be in the minor leagues. That could be a waste of $5. But I still think it's a good bargain. I mean, first of all, I don't know that he's going to the minor leagues. There were rumors over the weekend that Trumbo could be traded, which general manager Dave Stewart denied. But I think that they could move a piece there. I don't know. I guess it's looking less and less likely that Tomas plays third base, which is good news for Jake Lamb. But, let's say worst case scenario, he goes to the minors. I just don't think that they paid Tomas the money they paid him for him to languish at AAA for very long. So you stash him at the beginning of the season. I also managed to get David Peralta as a handcuff.
So, okay.
And I got him for free in the reserve rounds. I think that's a strategy you can pursue in a lot of leagues. Get Tomas cheap and then get Peralta. Now, I realize that we're talking about him as a dud. That's why you got to get the handcuff, because there is the possibility maybe he takes a long time to adjust. Maybe he does spend some time in the minors.
Yeah.
But it's not a reason to avoid him. You just have to make sure you get him at a bargain price, which you probably can now, and get Peralta or Lamb as a handcuff.
All right, I'll give you guys a stud and a dud here. I'm going to combine two studs. J.D. Martinez and Steve Pierce, they're having big springs. They've combined for 9 home runs. They're both hitting over .300. J.D. Martinez is going in round 11 in points, round 7 in Roto. Steve Pierce is going in round 17 in both formats. So do you guys think J.D. Martinez and Steve Pierce are undervalued?
I think Martinez is hugely. I don't know why, because I've said that I liked Pierce late last season, hitting well even when he was banged up. But I haven't been able to pull the trigger on Pierce.
I have. Usually, like last week when we did the mock draft, I had no first baseman. And then around 13-ish or something, I just had to take Steve Pierce. Wasn't ideal. I'd rather have him as a corner infielder. But I've been able to pull the trigger on Pierce. But I end up with J.D. Martinez all the time. He just keeps falling. Heath, you want to weigh in on those two guys?
I really was kind of the mindset that Martinez might be down for a little bit of regression this year, but he hasn't started the spring off that way. And at his value, it doesn't, I mean, it's kind of a little bit of regression right. baked in. So yeah, I think both those guys are undervalued, but especially Martinez.
So where in a 12 team league would you want to take JD Martinez, Heath?
I don't really, that's the thing. I don't really want to take him.
You're worried about him regressing back to being lousy or what?
Yeah, I mean, where did you say he was being taken right now?
Round 11 in points, where the starting pitchers get bumped up so much the hitters fall, and round right. 7 in Roto. I think round 7 is probably the good barometer to use there.
Yeah, I mean, I would take him, I guess, towards the end of round 7, but I wouldn't want to take him any before that.
I would. How about I would take him in round late 5, maybe 6.
6 for sure. And I'm looking at my rankings. I have him not far. Well, I've got him 3 spots behind Starling Marte in Roto. Marte, Cruz, Hayward, then JD Martinez. That to me, it says round 6.
Okay. And here's my dud. Justin Verlander. You know, the last 2 starts, he's given up 5 home runs, 9 earned runs in 8 1/3. And again, you don't want to make too much of spring training, but I just can't help but think that so many excuses have been made for Justin Verlander over the last 2 seasons that I don't want to buy into it anymore. I read the articles, I read them again. It's like, well, his slider wasn't there yet, and this and that. It's like, well, I'm tired of it, Justin Verlander. So I think I'm putting him on my do not draft list.
Who was writing those columns that they have that particular voice?
Nasally Adam. That's what you get when I'm sick, I guess. I don't know. I just wanted to say that about Verlander if you guys would like to chime in.
I don't think you're really making too much out of spring training because Verlander was not good last year.
Right.
And so you needed to see something positive in spring training to make you believe that everything, I mean, what was the biggest excuse? His core wasn't strong enough last year.
Right.
So now he's coming in with a strong core. Well, the strong core doesn't seem to be helping him. It's not like we're talking about somebody that was an ace last year and because he's bad now, we're not sure he's going to be good this year. I think Verlander's pretty close to done.
Wow. Okay, good. I feel better about it then. Let's read some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Email of the day number 1 is from Mike in Maywood, New Jersey. Do you think that Houston shortstop prospect Carlos Correa or Minnesota outfield prospect Byron Buxton will get called up at any point this year?
You know, I thought Correa had a really good chance before the Astros signed Jed Lowry. And that's a move that suggests to me. I don't think Lowry's a guy that you know, shifted to a utility role, and they certainly wouldn't bring Correa up not to play. So I think the odds of Correa coming up this year, other than maybe in September, I think they're slim. Buxton, on the other hand, I think there's definitely an opportunity for him there as a midseason call-up.
All right, email of the day number 2 is from JP in Milwaukee. He says, hey, Jake, Ricky, and Roger. And then he provided the answer to that one at the bottom of his email, which I didn't include because I was insulted because it's so easy. So, Heath, do you know Jake, Ricky, and Roger?
McDowell's?
Oh, boy. Al? You know it, Al.
Alaska's.
Now, this would be Jake Taylor, Ricky the Wild Thing Vaughn. And Roger Dord.
And you know what's so stupid about this? I saw this email in our inbox, and I got it right away.
I'm not good at this game. I'm not sure I'm ever going to get to the point. I'll get better at some things. I'm not sure this game is one of them.
Because you have seen Major League, right, Heath? Or else?
I've probably seen Major League like 30 times.
Okay, good. 30 is the minimum, or else you probably weren't going to be on the podcast anymore. That was a big one.
He spelled Roger with a D-R-O-D-G-E-R. Is that how Roger Dorn spells his name?
I would say there's no way that's how Roger Dorn spells his name.
Yeah.
Well, that's what threw me off.
Okay. Well, then it was JP's fault. Here's his question. After 3 seasons of listening to your advice on waiting for pitchers, I'm afraid this year I must waver. In head-to-head points leagues, having an underwhelming pitching staff can lead to a disastrous season. I've learned this far too well. I am lucky enough to be able to keep Rizzo in the 11th round. I'm planning on taking 2 aces in the first 3 rounds. My question is, which pitchers do you believe have the best chance at returning first-round value? I'm thinking Scherzer, 5th overall. But I'm not sure which other ace has the best value to take in the second or third round, assuming Felix Hernandez and Clayton Kershaw are gone. So basically, of the aces, best chances to return first round value.
I think there's only one.
Who?
Kershaw.
But after that, like, you don't think?
But I've got Sale ranked second, even with the foot issue, and then Felix third.
So,
and,
all right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you could kind of stretch it, but there are players I'd rather take at 11 or 12 than either of them.
But assuming he's already decided he's going to do this, which pitcher should he take?
I'd go Felix.
Yeah. I don't think you can go wrong with Felix. I do kind of think there's something there too. Scherzer's been really, really good in the American League, and now he gets to go to the inferior league. And so he's probably going to be even better.
I know that this is, it's going to have an unintended message, I think. I'm not saying I don't like Felix Hernandez, but if I can choose, in his situation, JP's, he says Felix and Kershaw are gone, but let's just assume Kershaw's the only one gone. And if I can choose from any of the other eight aces that I like, I'm probably bypassing Felix Hernandez and maybe even Chris Sale and taking Scherzer. Because I'm just a little worried about all the innings for Felix Hernandez. I've seen in the last few seasons Cliff Lee and Roy Halladay, their effectiveness, and Tim Lincecum, their effectiveness, and CeCe Sabathia.
Aces, and Justin Verlander.
Aces who have these very, very big workloads year after year after year, and it goes away immediately. I mean, the fall off is so steep, and I don't think that's going to happen to Felix Hernandez. But I'll pass him over and take a guy who I think could be just as good but is a little safer in Scherzer. And then with Sale, like, I love Sale, but every single year he has like an elbow scare, and he's already starting the season on the DL, not with an elbow. So that's my philosophy with those guys. And I could see Strasburg finally putting it together and becoming the best pitcher other than Kershaw in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, if you miss out on the guys I mentioned, I would feel pretty good about walking away with Strasburg or Bumgarner, because I think either one has the potential.
And you don't worry about the innings thing with Bumgarner?
No, I do. But that's why I say it's a chance. It's a little bit of a risk.
But here's the thing. I don't think you have to have two of these guys to have a great staff. Like, yeah, if you don't have a good pitching staff in a head-to-head points league, JP, you're absolutely right. You're in trouble. But I don't think you need two aces. And Heath, I'm not sure how familiar you are with the head-to-head points format. I'm not sure how much of those leagues you've done. But I never have two aces.
No, and I don't necessarily agree with the strategy at all. I was just trying to think if he's already decided he's going to follow the strategy.
Yeah. You can yell at him.
I mean, Matt Harvey is a guy you can get later.
Exactly.
He may give you top 10, top 6 production if he's really, I mean, he looks really good right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, speaking of spring training studs, how are you guys feeling about Matt Harvey right now? He has been unhittable.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, he had, I think it was his second start where he got hit around a bit, but, I can't get worried about that. So I completely agree with Heath. I'm not drafting him as a top 10 or top 12 pitcher, but would not be at all surprised to see him wind up there. And when the top guys are gone, he's a great fallback.
I think when a guy's coming back from that long of an extended absence, one of the things you really worry about is the command and the control. He's got one walk this whole spring.
Right. Yep. Yeah, he's looking good. All right, let's tell everybody who's in the podcast league. There are 6 out of the 8 people that I emailed to say you're in the league. 6 have responded. They are JP Pham from Los Angeles, California. Welcome, JP. Oh, that's a different JP than the guy who wrote email of the day number 2, by the way. Clay from Toronto. We're international. Kevin from SoCal, as we have a very nice Southern California base. Eric Simonson from Manchester, New Hampshire, back to the East Coast. Randy Lewis from Ambler, Pennsylvania, who says, quote, tell Jake that I had a message for him, but there was way too much profanity involved for you to read it on the air, or for me to read it on the air, for Adam to read it on the air. All right, Jake, that one's for you. And Michael Goodwin from Grand Rapids, Michigan, neighbor of Al Melchior.
I've never lived in the western part of Michigan, just so you know.
Okay. I didn't know that it was the west, so.
Now you do.
Now I do.
We've talked about the thumb on the show. Now we're talking about the West.
That's the warm area of Michigan, right?
Well, that's the Michiana snow belt. Lake effect snow, central there.
Ugh, that sounds awful. Hey, can I interrupt this regularly scheduled fantasy baseball program to talk about two things that have impacted my life in a major way over the weekend and then this morning?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The Jinx on HBO. Did you guys watch it by any chance?
It's you know
the,
I did.
The Robert Durst documentary?
I really want to watch it, but I missed it because I didn't have... You know, I've been kind of in flux here recently.
Uh-huh. Yeah, understood. Well, I watched it all on demand this past weekend, Heath.
On demand, okay. Yeah, I don't think I have that option at the extended stay hotel.
Do you have HBO Go?
No.
Okay, at some point, order yourself some HBO, and either on demand or online, everybody should watch The Jinx. It's six episodes. It's about 45 minutes an episode. It's so awesome, and it was great. And for baseball fans, I'm very opinionated about Pete Rose. I don't think he should be reinstated or voted into the Hall of Fame. I read an article this morning from the Cincinnati Inquirer about from James Pilcher. It's called Pete Rose's Investigator. Never let him back in baseball. That's basically just an interview with John Dowd, and it's really interesting. The situation's a lot worse than I ever knew it was. So I feel everybody should read it. It was a great story, and I'm just spreading the word.
Do we have to let Pete Rose back into baseball to put him in the Hall of Fame?
You don't, but I don't think I don't think either should happen. Do you?
I do. There's so many. If you've went through the dirty laundry in the Hall of Fame, it's every bit as bad as Pete Rose.
Is it though? Like betting on your team when you're playing, betting on your team when you're managing, possibly betting against your team while you were managing, and not betting on your team while you were managing when certain pitchers were on the mound who were struggling, which is not exactly betting against your team, but you know, when you bet the other nights, but you don't bet when these two guys are on the mound. That's one thing I learned in this article today.
Well, if you're somebody that gambles on sports, you know how silly it is to think that if you're going to bet on your team, what, you have to bet on your team every single night?
No.
That doesn't make any sense. Nobody would bet on their team every night.
Okay, so you think you should be in the Hall?
I do, and I guess I just, I know as far as the moral code of baseball, gambling on baseball, especially when you're managing, it's like the worst thing possible. But in life, it's not the worst things possible. And there's people that have done worse things that are in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I actually don't have a problem with him being in the Hall. I don't think he should be let back in baseball
right.
in any kind of, you know, any kind of capacity.
He has a sickness, and he's not going to be able to control it if he comes back, probably. Yeah. But he can't hurt anything.
Yeah, the Hall's a museum.
Yes.
You know, all warts and all.
Okay. Well, then he should be in the warts section. let's run through the injuries, news, and notes quickly here so we can talk more studs and duds and save some time for emails. Brett Cecil is the Blue Jays closer, guys. So what you thinking?
I'm thinking he could be a number one reliever.
Yeah?
Yep. He's had great peripherals as a setup guy.
But the walks, Al.
Well.
27 walks and 53 and a third last year.
That was last year, okay.
1.37 whip. He doesn't have that much relief experience, so I don't want to look at his awful numbers as a starter. That was last year. He had 27 walks and 53 and a third. In 2013, he had 23 walks in 60 innings, 60 and two-thirds. So he's a high whip reliever with a lot of walks, but heck of a lot of strikeouts, and the ERA has been good.
Yeah, well, in his 2 years ago, his WHIP was 110, which is, you know, for a closer, is not very good. But you know, before last season, his walk rates were just on the high side of normal. When you're talking about a guy who's got the potential to get as many strikeouts as Cecil does, that doesn't bother me. I mean, it's not Trevor Rosenthal territory.
Okay,
so I think he's a ground ball guy, which is going to come in very handy in the AL East.
Santiago Garcia or Brett Cecil?
Cecil, hands down.
Heath?
Joaquin Soria.
No, come on.
None of the above.
Brett Cecil.
Neftali Feliz or Brett Cecil?
Cecil again.
Ah, Feliz.
Papelbon or Cecil?
Yeah, that one's tougher. I want to say Cecil. I'm just looking to see where I have Papelbon ranked. Yeah, I've got Papelbon well behind him. So Cecil it is.
I guess we just got one less team that Papelbon could be traded to. So I'll say Cecil.
All right, last one. Points league. Brett Cecil or Kendall Graveman?
That's tough.
Graveman.
Okay, you get Graveman. I get Cecil.
John Lester is arm fatigue, could still be ready for opening day. I'm just going to run down the list here. I want you guys to chime in when you feel it's necessary. If there's a change in value, draft position, whatever. So Lester, they're optimistic he'll be ready. Hyunjin Ryu starting the season on the DL with a shoulder injury. I feel like you guys might talk now. Like, when would you take Hyunjin Ryu at this point?
Later than probably would allow me to get him. I'm sure his stock will fall, but at this point, I'm very worried about the health risk with him.
I don't like drafting pitchers that are having arm troubles this close to the season, so I'm kind of with Al there.
Adam Wainwright made his spring debut 4 innings scoreless with 4 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts against the Braves. Miguel Cabrera. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll be really excited to see if he can duplicate that against a major league lineup.
Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez made their spring training debuts. Miguel Cabrera is going top 6. Victor Martinez is going in the 6th round in points and the 5th round in roto. Thoughts on those ADPs?
Both being underdrafted.
I disagree.
On which one?
I don't, and they've both been really good. It's probably kind of goes back to where I'm at with Adrian Beltre. I'm not a big fan of guys that carry a lot of weight that are getting older that are already starting to have injuries.
Yep. I don't blame you. So where would you take Miguel Cabrera?
Oh, I'm not going to get Miguel Cabrera because I think you have to take him in the first 5. And I'm not going to take him in the first 5. I'd take Altuve over him.
Okay. I just think even if you build in some regression for Cabrera, he's going to return that top 5 value. And it's same with Martinez, not top 5, but better than 5th round.
I don't think Martinez is a great. I think he's being drafted about the right spot, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah, you know, in our mock drafts, he had been going in like the 3rd round and the 4th round. Seeing him in the 5th or the 6th round would make me feel a lot more comfortable. Especially since first base is not really as deep as you want it to be. The White Sox signed Adam Eaton. The White Sox signed Adam Eaton to a 5-year, $23.5 million deal. Mike Fiers should avoid the DL. He could have a turn skipped or a start moved back, so he might not be ready for his first turn of the rotation, but Fiers should be ready pretty early. So with that said, would you go Fiers or Ryu right now?
I would have gone Fiers before, and I will still. Pshaw. Pshaw yourself.
Now it's cool, but before, I would have pshawed you. Heath, Fiers or Ryu?
Yeah, I'll go Fiers. I would have gone Ryu before, though.
Roberto Hernandez and Dan Straley, both in the running for the number 5 job for the Astros.
Oh, no, they're not.
Oh, no? What happened?
Straley got sent down this morning.
Oh! Come on, Azer. Read the news.
This is fairly late breaking, so.
Well, I ain't drafting Roberto Hernandez.
Yeah, me neither.
Let's see. Matt Wieter is likely to start the season on the DL, and Caleb Joseph would be the starter. So, how long do you think it'll be for Wieters?
I tend to think not long. This is really just a shot in the dark, but I would think maybe late April.
Can't he just play DH?
Yeah.
I would be much happier if he would just... I mean, he's already got the catcher eligibility, so we don't need him to play catcher anymore. And I'm not sure that he can... I don't want him throwing the ball anymore. Let's just play DH.
What's your bust concern for Matt Wieters?
My bust concern is he hurts his arm.
I mean,
second base.
What level of concern do you have for him being a bust?
For me, it's pretty high.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I've drafted him in any league or mock. I certainly know that the sort of the sinking feeling when I see him at the top of the draft board. So yeah, very high concern.
I was drafting him before this latest scare. And I just don't know why they wouldn't let him play DH.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't seem to want to do that.
No, not at all.
They care about his long-term fantasy value.
I have a feeling if his arm is so bad that he can't catch, especially since I believe he's a free agent after this season, that they'll just let him DH. Like, at some point, they'll just cut their losses. Right now, they probably want him to be their catcher, which I understand. But I just feel like they wouldn't shut him down for the season or anything. Eventually, they'd let him DH. But I don't really know because I don't manage the Orioles, unfortunately. Daniel Murphy is going to begin the season on the DL with a hamstring injury. Meanwhile, Bartolo Colon is going to be the Mets opening day starter. Do you guys ever draft Bartolo Colon?
Nope.
No, I do think this is big news for Daly, though, because they also announced that Scherzer was going to be the Washington starter. This might make Scherzer the number one option at pitcher just because he goes up against Colon, and the chances for the wins are a little higher.
Tampa Bay is going to make Asdrubal Cabrera their starting shortstop, according to the Tampa Bay Times. Al, one of your duds was Nick Franklin.
Yep, it is related to that because with Asdrubal Cabrera being named the shortstop, the implication there is they haven't named a second baseman. Franklin has not hit well this spring. So there's a case where the spring stats do mean something because he's not making a case for himself. And we've been waiting a long time now for Nick Franklin to take advantage of the opportunities, and he just really hasn't done it.
Nick Markakis expected to debut for the Braves today. And Washington's still optimistic about Anthony Rendon being ready for the start of the season. He has a knee injury. Should we be making more out of Anthony Rendon's injury status right now?
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay, let's do it then.
Give it, all right. Freak out, people! No, I mean, given his injury history, it's I could see a scenario where he misses some time this year, and that's going to knock him out of the elite draft value that he's had up to this point.
So would you guys go Donaldson or Rendon?
I was going Donaldson before, but I also was going Rendon over Cano. I don't think I would do that now.
Donaldson for me. Donaldson, yeah. I think I have Donaldson as my number one third baseman.
All right, how about Cano then?
I think I'd rather have Cano right now.
Okay. Colorado starting pitcher Jorge De La Rosa has a groin injury, may not be ready for the start of the season. And Commissioner Rob Manfred says there should be a decision on a Josh Hamilton suspension by opening day. So with that said, let's do some more studs and duds. Heath,
Did we get the Ulysses Chacin news?
Oh, that he got cut?
Yeah.
No.
I think it's important because, once again, we are shown that you don't really want to buy Chacin. You only want to... Oh, I blew it. I blew the setup.
Where is he going with this, Chacin?
Yeah, you don't buy Chacin, you lease Chacin. But I blew it.
No, it still works.
All right.
Why did you blow it? I think you could have.
I needed a second go around. I had to kind of circle back around and make the approach again.
Good stuff. Heath.
I can't touch that.
No, you don't have to.
Don't make me follow that up.
Heath.
I could top that.
Well, I'm trying to top that now. Heath, you'd have to be smarter to draft Chris Carter at this point. Now, he's one of your studs, Chris Carter.
He had a dreadful start to the spring, but his last four games, 7 for 12, 2 dongs, 4 RBIs, his spring OPS is up to 1153. And I guess he's a stud here lately, but it also, this is Chris Carter. He's going to have weeks like this, and he's going to have weeks where he maybe doesn't get a hit.
Yeah, so how do you draft Chris Carter?
Very carefully.
you put him in your queue and then you hit draft
group. I thought for sure you were going to drop an Allie Larder in your little rhyme there.
If only I knew who that was.
She was on some show, and she was also in, what's that movie with Reese Witherspoon?
You're killing it with the descriptions today.
Yeah, let's move on.
So Heath's studs were Harvey, Paxton, and Carter. We talked about them. His duds, Derek Norris, who we discussed, Charlie Morton, and Adrian Beltre. Let's talk about Charlie Morton.
Charlie Morton got bombed yesterday by the Astros. In 9 innings, 9 1/3 so far this year, he's only got 3 strikeouts. There's an article on MLB.com today suggesting that the Pirates are considering leaving Morton in Florida for extra work when they break camp. That does not sound good for Charlie Morton. And then Adrian Beltre, hitless since March the 12th. He's an established stud, so most people probably think it doesn't mean anything. But if you're like me and you think maybe he's over the hill, and the fact that he's decreased in home runs and RBIs each of the last three seasons, it's a little concerning.
Well, I think it's interesting. I see a pattern for you. You don't like old guys, basically.
I don't like old guys that carry extra weight.
Okay, so when would you feel comfortable drafting Beltre? I'm sorry if I've already asked you this in a previous podcast.
I think that you did, and I think that I basically said I wasn't going to get him because he's going middle of the third now, right? I don't really think I'd want to take him before the end of the fourth, maybe start of the fifth.
Wow, okay, all right. And then for Morton, so is that good news for both Locke and Worley? Are they more draftable now in NL only especially?
The one I've really been worried about is Locke. So, yes, I think that helps him tremendously.
Whereas Worley, you think, is in the rotation?
I just thought he had the better chance. And certainly now it makes me pretty much all in on Worley.
Okay. Al's spring training studs. Got some deeper league guys here. Like St. Louis outfielder Randall Grichuk and Nationals outfielder Michael Taylor, who's really having a nice spring. Talk about Grichuk and Taylor.
Taylor's the bigger name for sure, but I think Grichuk's more intriguing. You're going to hate this, Adam.
No, oh, John Jay.
Yeah?
Oh, John
Jay. If he could just hit righties, I mean, I think there's a great opportunity for Grichuk there. So I'm encouraged to see, and I don't know what his splits are this spring, and if I did know him, I wouldn't care because I wouldn't really trust him. But the fact is he's producing, and anything Grichuk can do to get more of a chance for himself, I think he could wind up having an impact. Taylor, clearly a great talent, and it's just a question of where he's going to fit in when the Nationals outfield is all healthy. But that could be all season that they need
right.
a replacement with those three guys. So,
so is Taylor the kind of guy that's you're only looking at in five outfielder leagues?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely not in a three outfielder league. And I haven't pursued him in five outfielder leagues, but I wouldn't blame anybody for doing that, especially if they could stash him.
All right, so a couple of second basemen here for you, Al. Devin Travis of Toronto and Jace Peterson of Atlanta.
Yeah, and two situations, again, where there's a clear path if they could take their good spring stats and maintain them and translate that into an opportunity. It seems like the Blue Jays haven't really been wanting to give Travis the chance and put him third or fourth on the depth chart, but his Turris is not going to be ready for opening day. The likes of Ryan Goins, don't provide a huge roadblock to Travis, so might be till maybe May or June that Travis gets a real opportunity, maybe sooner. But I think he's going to wind up with the bulk of the playing time. And Peterson is the front runner in Atlanta, a guy to think about mostly in deeper leagues, but in points leagues. He walks a lot. It's a good strikeout to walk ratio for him, and some steals too, perhaps.
And Trevor May from Minnesota. So it has not been a good spring for Tommy Malone, but May's doing pretty well right now.
Yeah, well, Malone, they had been sort of neck and neck, and then they've been on the same schedule. So they both started in split squad games on, I think it was Saturday, and Malone did not do well, and May had his best performance to date, and he's really been very, very good, and he got a late start. He had the flu bug that was going around Twins camp, so he's only pitched six innings in Grapefruit League games, but he pitched in a minor league game. He pitched very well, and he's been throwing a lot of strikes, and that's what I find really encouraging for May, because he had really big-time control problems. Well, he's had big-time control problems throughout his minor league career, and big control problems for the first four starts or so. Last September, August and September when he came up. But if you take a look at the game log, even though the results weren't great, he had really nice peripherals for his last seven starts or so, Trevor May.
Ooh.
So,
are you talking about last year in the majors?
Yes.
Okay, but I mean, he was terrible. He had an ERA over seven, didn't he?
But that's what I'm saying. The ERA was bad. The results were bad. But towards the end, he was throwing strikes at a rate that he hadn't even thrown them in the minor league.
Well, I feel like they must have been getting hit at a rate that they weren't getting hit in the minor leagues. You know, I'm just saying, like, how could the ERA be that bad? I'm epic bad, and you could still be encouraged by the peripherals with May.
Because when you're talking about that small of a sample, it happens.
Okay.
We could go through a lot of different pitchers' game logs and find a similar thing there. So that's why I find this so encouraging that the control is still there this spring for Trevor May. I think the opportunity is there. The biggest problem with Malone is that he, even though he has an option because of some very weird, obscure rule, he has to be put on waivers if he's going to be sent down.
Mm.
But there's enough of a pitching market out there that Pelfrey, who's pitched well this spring, Malone, I would hope to see the Twins trade at least one of those guys, because I don't think at this point Mays really, it doesn't serve him or the Twins to send him back down.
All right. Yeah. Sorry.
Trevor may make the opening day roster, but I will not be drafting him.
There you go. I love it. That's the Al inspiration.
I'm not drafting him in 12 team leagues, but I did take him as a reserve pick in tout.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that works. Al, we talked about your duds, Ryu, Tomas, Franklin. So I'm just going to throw out a few names that caught my eye. Rusne Castillo, guys. Mookie Betts is having such a great spring, and it just seems so easy to be like, yeah, Betts is in, Castillo's been injured, he's out, but homered Friday, tripled Saturday, and go into the 15th round in points league, 12th round in roto leagues. Rusne Castillo's making a case in very, very limited work. He just came back from the oblique injury. What do you make of that situation now?
I think Castillo and Betts somehow find a way. The most likely scenario I see is it involves a trade of Shane Victorino.
Okay.
But I will admit, it makes, because I don't know how this is going to get resolved, that I've sort of avoided that whole situation. And it's to my own detriment, because Betts in particular, I think, is probably going to be very, very good.
We'll play a game. Do you care? So all you have to say is yes or no. And then you can expand if it's yes. Here are guys having good spring trainings. Toronto starting pitcher Daniel Norris. Do you care?
No.
Yeah, no. Yeah, as in I agree with Heath.
Clay Buchholz.
You know, I think we played this game last year too, and I was just as bad as it then. Bad at it then.
Do you care, Al?
Because I don't really care about spring stats that much.
No.
So
do you care about Clay Buchholz in fantasy?
I'm not drafting him in 12 team leagues. If he starts off well, I'll try to pick him up, because I think he's got that high end potential.
And Heath is a solid no on that one.
I'm just trying to play by the rules.
Yeah, thank you. San Diego third baseman Will Middlebrooks. Do you care?
Yes, because he's in a position battle, and I want him to win.
Over Solarte?
Yeah.
Boy, Al has such a soft spot for Will Middlebrooks.
Oh, I do.
I think Middlebrooks is in a very tight battle with Mike Moustakas to make third base in the spring training Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he always has good spring trainings. He really, last three seasons, including this one, OPS over 900 for Middlebrooks in all three spring trainings.
You know, that's a very inspiring place to go visit, the spring training Hall of Fame.
Yes.
You could put Pete Rose in that. I'd have no problem with that. Finally, Jock Peterson, guys.
I love the Abraham Nunez exhibit.
Oh, did you guys see the stupid games in the Alamo Dome over the weekend?
What?
Yeah, the Dodgers and the Rangers, maybe? They played in the freaking Alamo Dome. It was so weird.
Yeah, I did think it was weird. I don't know what was up with that. But
any home runs that you saw hit in that game, you have to take with a grain of salt, because the dimensions were really wacky. But Jock Peterson took advantage. He's having a great spring. Do you care?
No.
You don't care that Jock Peterson's having a great spring?
No, because you're going to discount those Alamo Dome home runs. So
yeah, I care a little bit. I probably, as far as the names of the list that we've gone down, I care the most about Jock Peterson, I guess.
Yeah, me too. But I like Jock Peterson.
I do too. I just don't care that he's hitting well this spring.
I understand that. I guess I just meant, like, do you care? Do you want to talk about him on a fantasy baseball show?
Oh, that's what you were asking.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's not a great game. It's flawed.
Yeah, I think he might be a little underdrafted. Because everybody knows I love me just some George Springer. And Peterson's got very similar appeal. It's just he hasn't had the 78 games that Springer has. Actually, he had whatever he had at the end of last season, like 11 games, which didn't go well. But he hasn't had the real opportunity to prove that he can translate his numbers. So That's why I haven't really been pursuing him. But yeah, I think it could be a great buy.
There we go. Now the game's working. Emails and tweets to finish the show. Cameron says, does anyone think Juan Lagares could turn into a Carlos Gomez with a little less speed?
No.
No.
That was easy. From Nick, I like the new addition to the podcast, Heath. He raises the coolness ratio a bit.
Wow.
Just a bit?
Wow.
And obviously, if I am 43 and emailing questions about fantasy baseball, I need help in coolness as well. So he said, I just had our draft last week. Using Scott's ranking, I was able to get five of his top 30 players in the first five rounds. Abreu, Donaldson, Sale, Kluber, and Victor Martinez. No outfielders in the bunch, so my outfielders are Billy Hamilton, J.D. Martinez, and Jason Wirth. Was that the correct strategy, or should I have taken an outfielder earlier? He ended up with Billy Hamilton, J.D. Martinez, and Wirth, and his first five picks were Abreu, Donaldson, Sale, Kluber, and V-Mart.
I mean, if you're going to punt outfield in the early rounds, that is the way to do it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he nailed it.
Yeah. That said, I probably would have passed on one of Sale and Kluber to nail down my first outfielder.
Yeah. Now, I always say I never take two aces. I think I would be tempted if there was a second one there in the fourth round. But I agree with you, Al. I think maybe that could have been your first outfielder.
Yeah. And by the way, when people email us and you know, tell us that they use Scott's rankings, I just want to let them know I can hear them.
I use your rankings, Al. And the draft room uses your projections.
That's true.
And I use Scott's rankings, too. And Heath, yeah, I mean, I will use your coolness and your advice.
Wow. This has been the greatest podcast ever.
Okay, here's Greg, a
it's
podcast
reject. Podcast ever.
Yeah, no kidding. Greg in the podcast Rejects League last year. Dear Manny, Moe, and Jack. Those are the Pep Boys. Here's a question he has for this weekend's draft. 6x6 league with OPS. I have Encarnacion, Puig, and Hanley Ramirez as keepers. With the first pick, should I take Beltre or Harper?
Yeah, I'd go Harper here. And I'll go so far as to say that Heath will too, because he hates Beltre.
I don't hate Beltre. He's had a nice career. It's just, yeah, Harper.
Dylan from Toledo. 6x5 daily head-to-head category league. Extra hitting category is walks. With that extra hitting category, would it be wise to completely neglect starting pitchers until after the 12th round? Having an extra hitting category is tempting me to load up on my hitting and saves before worrying about wins and strikeouts.
Well, I think that you can do a really good job of attacking those hitting categories and still get a pitcher, starting pitcher before the 12th round.
Yeah. I don't see why it would make that big of a difference.
Just I mean... In a category league, I do generally wait longer than everybody else on starting pitchers, so I kind of see what he's saying there. But I mean, if you use your first seven or eight picks on hitters, you're going to be way ahead of everybody on hitting. You can go ahead and start looking pitcher then.
Next up, Ox from Ohio. Dear Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail. Guys, no?
Those are bunnies.
Bunnies, yeah.
Yeah, is it specifically Peter Rabbit?
I believe so.
Yeah, okay. Trying to choose between Todd Frazier and Evan Longoria in a 12-player head-to-head category league with OBP and total bases. So yeah. Frazier or Longoria?
Frazier for me.
I think I'd probably go Frazier too, though. I do think Longoria may be a little undervalued, but I'd go Frazier.
Seth in York, Pennsylvania, 10-team head-to-head, 6x6 league. Pitching categories are wins, saves, ERA, whip, quality starts, and strikeouts per nine. Not strikeouts, but strikeouts per nine. I'm thinking of taking all hitters for my first eight picks or so and only taking a couple of sleeper starting pitchers late in the draft. My goal is to load up on closers and very good middle relievers in the middle rounds. That would help me win saves, ERA, whip, and strikeouts per nine. And then I'd have superior hitting. And what do you think?
Well, again, to me, it seems like and I haven't played in this specific format, so you do learn by trial and error, but just my gut tells me that might be overdoing it on the hitters just a little bit.
Yeah, but I do think starting pitchers take a serious hit here.
Yeah.
Because if you replace strikeouts with strikeouts per nine, it changes things quite a bit.
Oh sure. But you still need wins and quality starts.
I'm on board with the strategy as long as depending on whether this has a daily transaction limit or a number of starts limit. Mm-hmm. If this is one of those leagues where you can just load up on starters throughout the week, then you can take care of wins that way. And so then I'd be on board.
Okay. Here's Ryan. I picked up Drew Pomeranz in my 20-team points league last year. I can keep him for 1 year at $15, 2 years at $20 per year, or 3 years at $25 per year. So it's a points league, and top-tier pitchers usually go for about 60 out of 260. So this is Pomeranz. 15 for 1 year, 20 each for 2 years, 25 per year for 3 years. So how would you go about that with Drew Pomeranz, who you can actually use as an RP for a year in this league?
I just think that's way too much.
You wouldn't spend $15 on him for one league in a 20 team for 1 year in a 20 team league?
No, not even in a league that deep. I've got a lot of questions. I think he's great if you can get him cheap for a few bucks. That he makes good on his potential. That he gets the control issues under control, so to speak. But I think that's investing too much.
Last one is from Bitterman, not my real name. Other than Chris Bryant, who are this year's Super 2 candidates?
We talked about Devin Travis, so I think he'll be under consideration for Kopp early enough. There's him, maybe Mark Capel, maybe Buxton.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should blow our nose and get off the air and get on with our day and come back tomorrow with another podcast.
Did you not have a tweet of the day?
No, I didn't. I had an email of the day and a quote of the day.
We just got a tweet during the show that I thought was a pretty good one.
Hit me with it.
Finally, someone in the Fantasy Baseball podcast that plays in a daily lineup change league. Great podcast, guys.
I told you, I think I said this on our last one. Maybe not. This whole time, I joined a league with some friends. First time I'm in the league. A few weeks ago, I decided to join the league. It's a daily transaction league.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I said that. Like, I had no idea. This whole time, I'm like, I need to get in a daily transaction league, and I've been in one. So we're drafting this coming weekend. But it's a deep league. It's actually interesting. It's daily transactions for the hitters, but not for the pitchers, unless there's an injury.
That is interesting.
Yeah, so I kind of like that. I guess that means I got to put some extra hitters on my bench. You definitely need those points. All right, guys, thank you very much. Heath Cummings, Al Melchior. See you guys later.
Thank you.
See you, Adam.
I'm Adam Azer. Have a good one.